This is Marketplace. I'm Kimberly Adams. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, Asian Americans are the fastest growing racial or ethnic group in the United States. That includes people who identify as having roots in China, Japan, India, Malaysia, Pakistan, Thailand, Cambodia, the Philippines, just to name a few. In a new book called The Loneliest Americans, writer J. Caspian Kang explores what it really means to be, quote, Asian American, and explains that many people included in that designation, like his family, trace their U.S. origins to the 1965 Immigration Act, which lifted restrictions on immigration from certain Asian countries, but preferenced educated workers and their families.
Both my parents are North Korean refugees, escaped to the South. They grew up in a war zone. And once they got to the United States, I think they bought into the idea of like an American dream and opportunity, and they did quite well themselves. And I think that that type of narrative, which is very common, but not certainly monolithic, but, you know, like is the one that we hear the most about Asian Americans. But you also have, you know, starting in the 1980s, 1990s, you actually also have a large population of people who are refugees. You have a large population of Asians who come over who are not wealthy. And their stories have been more or less ignored, and that they're not sort of counted as being Asian American, and sort of brings to question, like, well, you know, like, what does this identity mean, right? Like,
Asian Americans have the biggest wealth gap between the highest earners and the lowest earners of any racial group. And this really ties back into what you're saying about these different identities. And I wonder, at least when we're looking at economic statistics, when we're talking about the economy and how people live in the United States, what it means to have these separate groups under one umbrella.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that we should just disaggregate all of these groups, right? Mm-hmm. There's no real harm being done when you just say, okay, well, Hmong refugees, for example, right, and who live in Minneapolis or in Northern California have a completely different set of circumstances than people who come from Korea or people who come from India, for example. And I do think that thinking about things in terms of class is a lot more convincing, at least to me, because I don't really think that a racial identity amongst Asian Americans exists in the same way that it exists amongst Black Americans, for example, where there is a sort of shared sense of struggle. Like, none of those things are present in Asian America.
I mean, if we're talking about catch-all terms, Asian Americans also get grouped under the people of color umbrella. And one of the reasons that that exists is because businesses and groups and organizations often use these labels to try to improve their diversity or equity efforts. What should they be doing instead?
You know, I think that the term has a very sympathetic history, right? Like, it starts with ways for generally women of color to organize themselves politically. But that's not really what we talk about anymore when we talk about people of color. Like, it's mostly like a corporate term, right? It's a term that gets bandied around in diversity training. Like, what does it mean? Like, do we really think that the people who are recent immigrants to the United States think of themselves as people of color? I don't think that they do. The more we sort of preference that type of talk, right, where there's this assumed solidarity, I think that does limit conversations basically to the concerns of a upper middle class or upwardly mobile middle class type of person.
Speaking of solidarity, you talk a great deal in this book about small business ownership and the role that this plays in the Asian American, air quotes, Asian American community, and how small business ownership not only shapes the relationships within certain Asian American communities, but also how it shapes relationships between Asian Americans and other groups, often the Black community. Can you lay out a couple of examples of how that shows up?
Right. The biggest example, and the one that most people will know, is Korean store owners in Los Angeles, right? And the sort of, and what happened during the Los Angeles riots, where, you know, a great number of those businesses were burned to the ground. You know, and some of the precipitating events, which include the shooting of Latasha Harlins, which is a 14-year-old Black girl, by a Korean shop owner, which, you know, happened about a year before. Generally, the argument that's been made is that there are two types of immigrants who come to the United States in terms of their relationship with both white people and with Black people. The first are people who come in and have a direct competition in the labor market. So that includes like the Irish, for example, right? The Irish come over to the United States. They're not really considered white. And then they're in direct labor competition with black people. And that, you know, through that interaction, they start to differentiate themselves. Like that's the process of how they become white. For a lot of Asian Americans, that doesn't really happen. Their interactions with the black community mostly come from opening up shops, right? And that isn't necessarily like direct competition in labor. You're sort of seen as a leech by a lot of people, but you're also not seen as a threat by the people who actually have power. And so that allows you a certain type of social mobility that other groups might not have.
Asian Americans are not the only group that doesn't fit neatly into this black-white racial binary that shapes so much of American culture, or at least the sort of predominant narrative of American culture. I mean, what did going through the process of writing this book, of your own exploration, teach you about where indigenous people or Middle Eastern people or Latinx people or anybody else fits when we're navigating these discussions, which have probably evolved a lot more quickly over the last year or so?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is space for a type of totalizing or large umbrella for all those people. The way in which we can access that is through trying to reconfigure our concerns about these things away from questions of identity and to try and root it in thinking about these issues through a lens of class, which, you know, has become unfashionable recently, you know, because so many of these conversations are sort of dominated by people who would say, like, as an Asian American, X, Y, and Z, and presume to speak for everybody in that group. I think that we can reconfigure that, or we can sort of readjust that to create opportunities for people to have solidarity with one another.
J. Caspian King's new book is The Loneliest Americans. Thank you so much.
Thank you.